నర్నిర్న సూర్యో నచ చంద్ర తారక నభూర్జలం ఖం శ్వశనోథ వాన్మన ఉపాసితా భేద కృతో హరంత్యఘం విపశ్చితో ఘనంతి ముహూర్త సేవయ.
Mahamuni, neither the demigods controlling fire, the sun, the moon, the stars, nor those in charge of earth, water, ether, air, speech, and mind actually removed the sins of their worshippers.
Six or eight crores, maximum eight, not more. 15 days. Now it will reduce to 4-5 of them will go away, will go and join the Belgaum batch after January. Maybe one more month they will come like that. So then we may need only one room, not two. Okay, bro. So next month, anyways, this month is over. December only they will come. At that time, Gokul. Yes, bro. Okay. Yes. Read 12th translation.
Neither the demigods controlling fire, the sun, the moon, the stars, nor those in charge of earth, water, ether, air, speech, and mind actually remove the sins of their worshippers, who continue to see in terms of dualities. But wise sages destroy one's sins when respectfully served for even a few moments.
So Agni, Surya, Chandra, Taraka, so many great controllers are there of various affairs of this material universe, and there are so many people who worship them also. So both the worshippers and demigods also are under the control of material nature. They see in terms of dualities. But devotees, they destroy people's sins when by coming in contact with them even for a muhurta. Vipaschito ghananti muhurta sevaya. One muhurta, which is like 48 minutes. Even if you just serve them for a muhurta, that itself is greatly uplifting the conditioned soul. So, here the purport explains the nature of a neophyte, immature devotee. And how can such an immature devotee advance in devotional service? That's the prominent theme of this purport. An immature devotee of the Supreme Lord may accept only the deity of the Lord as divine. So this is a Prakrita Bhakta or a Kanishta Bhakta. They give so much importance to deities, but they don't give similar importance to devotees. Nonetheless, because he recognizes Vishnu's supreme position, such a devotee is better situated than a purely materialistic person and a worshipper of demigod. A worshipper of Vishnu's deity is way better situated than a regular karmakandi worshipper who does some karmakandic rituals for demigods. So association with advanced sages either directly or by hearing their instructions is recommended in this verse. So such kind of association can uplift a neophyte person, and he must always contend with the subtler contaminations of false pride, disrespect towards other Vaishnavas, lack of compassion. So these are the pitfalls of a neophyte person. Right, a Kanishta Bhakta, he has some pride. I am worshipping the deity. Right. He disrespects other devotees. And he has a lot of compassion for suffering creatures. He does not have compassion for suffering creatures. He must have studied this in 3rd Canto, 29th chapter and all. Kapila's teachings. So the best remedy for these people who are very immature is to hear from and honor pure devotees and to assist them in the preaching mission. Right? Only by service to pure devotees one will be able to uplift oneself, which is otherwise not possible even by performing deity worship, even by studying Shastra. That's what this purport says. So, now a comparison is made between the purifying effect of the worship of demigods and sages in this verse. When someone worships the demigods, he cannot become very pure so easily. Because the interaction between a worshipper and the demigod is one of selfishness. The worshipper of a demigod is selfish and the demigod himself is selfish. But when it comes to an interaction between devotee and any conditioned soul, here one party is selfless. Selfless to what extent? So selfless that he wants to uplift this conditioned soul to the lotus feet of Krishna, to give him the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. So, because of that pure intent, selfless intent, the purifying effect is more. Right? So, wise sages destroy one's sins when respectfully served, for even for few moments. So, next, 13th verse. यस्यात्मा बुद्धि कृणपे त्रिधातुके स्वधी कलत्रादिषु भौम इज्यधीः यत्तीर्थबुद्धिः सलिलेन कर्हिचित् जनेष्वभिज्ञेषु स एव गोखरः यस्यात्मबुद्धि कृणपे त्रिधातुके स्वधीः कलत्राधिषु भौम इज्यधीः यत्तीर्थबुद्धिः सलिलेन कर्हिचित् जनेष्वभिज्ञेषु स एव गोखरः.
One who identifies his self as the inert body composed of mucus, bile and air, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks as earthen image of or the land of his birth is worshipable, or who sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself with, feels kinship with, worships or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass.
So, yasya atma buddhihi krinape tridhatuke. This krinape, kunape is corpse, dead body. So, this body without soul is as good as a corpse. Right? So, when the soul is present, the body is animate. And the conditioned soul forgets that this animating body, this living body, this beautiful body is me. He thinks like that. But he doesn't understand who is that actual me within the body. So he thinks that this body is me. So such is the consciousness of a conditioned soul. Yasya atma buddhihi. This is myself. So he identifies his self with a corpse-like combination of material elements. Right? So swadhihi kalatrahishu bhauma ijyadhihi. So next line says, once you misidentify yourself with this material body, then you start misidentifying other people who are connected to this body as yours. Kalatradishu. Kalatra is a wife. So this wife is mine, children are mine, relatives are mine, this house is mine, this furniture is mine. So like that, there is a sense of possessiveness. You know, Brahmaji has created this, five kinds of nisayans in the beginning of the creation. Sasarjangrendhatamishramathatamishramadikrit, mahamohamcha mohamcha tamaschagnanavrittaya. What is tamas? Ignorance. Ignorance of one's own identity. The next is moham. Moham means in that forgetfulness of one's own identity, you identify yourself with body. That is moham. What is mahamoham? The sense of possessiveness. When you identify yourself with this body, whatever is connected to the body is mine. Moham is I. Mahamoham is mine. I and mine conception. Aham mameti. The next is tamishram. Tamishram is anger upon frustration. Then you realize that it's not actually mine. Right? Whenever someone just intrudes, it's not yours, it's mine. Someone will claim that your property. You think that it is your property, someone else will claim that property. Then there is frustration, anger. That is tamishram. And the ultimate frustration or anger will lead you to sense of death, where you realize that even this body is also not mine. So far I was thinking that this mic stand is mine. Someone said that, no, it's not yours, it's mine. Someone else claimed it. Then there is anger. That is tamishram. Now forget about this mic stand and other external objects. You realize that this body itself is not mine. That is a sense of death which is called andhatamishram. So these are the five things that Brahmaji has created. So that's how creation began. This whole creation is, the purpose of creation is to house the conditioned souls who developed a sense of independence from the Lord. We need not depend on the Lord. We cannot serve Him. We cannot serve Krishna. So this whole thing is meant for that. Whole material creation is meant for that. So for that He first created these operating systems or softwares, whatever you may call. He installed them. The subtle feelings and conceptions, which are technically called nisayans, right? Ajnana vrittis. So Brahmaji has installed. Then He started the creation and then creating the material bodies. Now Krishna is tracing back that creation. Krishna says, whoever under the influence of these five kinds of nisayans, whoever thinks that this body is mine and the people who are connected to this body are mine and the land where I am living is mine, is most worshipable Tirtha, right? And what else? Homa Ijjadhihi. He also says that one who thinks the earthen image or the land of his birth is worshipable. This earthen image doesn't refer to a deity of Krishna. It's not Radha Krishna deity. It is deity of some demigod. If one thinks that deity of a demigod is worshipable, then he is like a cow or an ass, like that. It's connected. So this earthen image doesn't refer to Krishna deity. Similarly, yat tirtha buddhihi, or one who sees the place of pilgrimage as merely water there. And this water doesn't refer to the holy rivers like Ganga, Yamuna, not like that. Some lower rivers. So giving so much of great importance to the rivers or lakes or water bodies which are not connected with Krishna's pastimes, that is considered materialistic conception. Such a person is compared to cow and ass. Getting right? So such a person is no better than cow and ass. Who is no better than a cow and ass? Number one, he thinks body as self. Number two, he thinks his family and other relatives connected to the body as his own, I and mine. Third, he thinks that an earthen image or the land where he took birth, that is worshipable. Fourth, he considers a pilgrimage place as a mere water body. Right? So like that. So such people are no better than cows and asses. Jineshu abhigneshu sa eva go kharaha. Go is cow, khara is ass. Now, cow is such a glorious animal. Why should you compare a materialistic person with a cow? We worship cows, we brush cows. all that you may say, but now the glorious aspect of cow is not taken here. Cows being the dearmost animal of Krishna, that is not being taken here. What is taken here is the cows being an animal, and when the calf dies also, cow starts licking, thinking that, oh, my son has passed away. That kind of ignorance aspect is highlighted. How can Krishna compare a materialistic person with his own dear entity, that is cow? He's called Gopal. Don't get into extremes. The comparison is restricted to the material aspect of the analogy, right? Not the complete aspect. Just like when Mahaprabhu was discussing with Ramananda Rai, when Ramananda Rai said, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam charanam vrajati, this is the highest goal of life. So dharma tyaga. Lord Chaitanya said, eho bahya. Is he rejecting the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? Now, don't take the highest devotional import of Sarva dharman parityajya. Just to take the one proposal point of Ramananda Rai, which is swadharma tyaga. Just by renouncing one's own activities doesn't constitute the highest goal of life. Right. When we come to that chapter, we'll understand. So we need to understand how much should we accept when some verses quoted. Kaviraj Goswami quotes so many verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita, then Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Padyavali, and all this. So in that context, some points are relevant. Right, that's what he wants to highlight. Right. In another context, another feature of that is highlighted. So, that is the import of this verse. So here, water refers to lower rivers. For example, somebody comes from a village. Now, in the attempt to promote village life or natural life, sometimes one may give so much of importance to village ambience only. Right. Oh, this village, you have forgotten, you went somewhere else. Right. You have settled down in cities. You know how glorious are the is your own village. Yeah, definitely. When you give importance to the natural ambience, natural life, in comparison to the artificial living standards that you live in the city, to that extent that comparison is good. But if you give so much of prominence to your birthplace, your birth village, and say that this is the yoga dharma, this is the highest, then sayeva gokhara. Getting right? We need to understand to what extent should we glorify something, emphasize something. We need to understand things according to context. Getting right? So context is very important to actually understand the import of certain statements. Keeping aside the context, if we just focus on the literal meaning of a statement, then we may many times miss the point, whole point. True intelligence is shown by one's freedom from false identification of the self. What a brilliant statement. What is true intelligence? Freedom from mahamoham. An imperfect Vaishnava advancing towards the second class platform, means a Kanishta going to Madhyam level, identifies himself with the sages who have established the true spiritual path, even while he still may have some inferior material attachments to body, family, and so on. Such a devotee is not a foolish cow or stubborn ass like the majority of materialists. But most excellent is Uttama devotee. Right? Uttama adhikari. Here the point is, someone who is attempting to advance, you cannot put him in this category of fallen, duplicitous, hypocritical, cow, ass, like that. Now there are two categories of pure devotees. One is who is actually pure devotee, one who is attempting to be pure devotee. He also can be considered pure devotee because his aspiration is pure, his determination is pure, and if he continues to maintain that determination and honestly and sincerely tries to achieve that goal, eventually he will also become a pure devotee in that sense. Right? He is not yet pure, sure, but he is attempting, honestly attempting to be pure. So that we must acknowledge. So we cannot put everybody in this platform of cow and ass, whoever thinks in these lines, very literally. He may have certain material attachments like this. Arey, I need to go home. Arey, immediately quote this. Shatma buddhi kranape tridhatuke. Arey, you can go for an annual visit and stay for a few days and then come back. That's fine. Read, my mother kya? Who is your mother? Who is your father? Didn't you read Chaturvedi episode? So you can't just immediately quote. Getting right? So for the regular smooth functioning of a mortal in this world, you need to respect certain protocols and certain conventions that are there in this world, and slowly trying to uplift one's consciousness to the highest mentioned spiritual consciousness, right? So we cannot literally apply and prematurely apply things. Yes, bro. Something they are trying, it will take some time for them also to come to sincerity. They need some inspiration. I mean, they are on the path only, but gadi thoda slow hai. 20 km/h. Some people 80 km/h. Some people more than 100 km/h. But gadi chal rahe. But these people, gadi is going in a different direction. So such people you should apply. Say eva gokharaha. Getting right? As soon as you are on the path, on this path, then you should give a benefit of doubt. And help him to make them little faster. Right? We fall in which category? That's subjective. We can't put everybody in that one category. Here 30 people are in 30 different categories also. But you assess yourself to some extent, your immediate superior or someone who is closely monitoring you and guiding you, he can assess to certain extent, and Paramatma will assess ultimately. Here, 13th verse, 1 minute. Here, Kaviraj goes, Chakvartipa says, cows and asses are called, asses are classed as one object because of their similarity. Gokharaha can mean the asses that carry grass and other items for the service of cows. Sometimes asses will carry grass for the cows. Those who identify with the body, yasyatma buddhi, are not wise men. One who concludes that those who identify with the body and with wise men are not cows and asses. Okay. Who has a question?
What is this? Who sees the place of pilgrimage as merely a water there? Refer not to sacred rivers like Ganges. But seeing this statement, the person who sees the place of pilgrimage is merely a water, so that itself is enough, na? Why this further clarification? Because if he sees Ganges or other rivers as important, then he is quite advanced, right?
But who never identifies himself with the devotees there, right? Na? Or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth. So that has to be mentioned. Na? One who does not see holy places not merely as water, yeah, he is advanced, but he should also do something positive. That is to go and surrender to some sincere sadhus there. What exactly is the question?
My question is, if we, if he sees the lesser rivers less important, but if Yamuna and Ganges are there, then he has some importance for them. From this statement, it comes like that, you know. So that means he respects them, respect the places of pilgrimage. He doesn't just neglect them. Correct.
See, so, just acknowledging the presence of holy rivers like Ganga, Yamuna, that is not sufficient. We should also take advantage of the holy men living there. For that, the clarification is mentioned. Because even holy rivers like Ganga also purify after a long time. That Krishna has already clarified some time back. Okay. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Nishamyetam Bhagavataham. Krishnaya Kunthamedhasa. Vacho Duranvayam Vipraham. Tushnimasan Brahmadhyaya.
Shukadeva Goswami said, hearing such unfathomable words from the unlimitedly wise Lord Krishna, the learned Brahmanas remained silent, their minds bewildered.
Unfathomable words from the unlimitedly wise Krishna. So Brahmanas were little silent. So when a senior person is glorifying a junior person, too much, little embarrassing, is it not? Here, Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who can be more senior than him? He is glorifying the sages. Sages felt a little embarrassed. 15th verse. Chiram vimrishya munaya munayam.
Chiram vimrishya munaya.
Ishvarasye sitavyatam. Janasangraha ityuchuhu. Smayantah tam jagadgurum.
For some time, the sages pondered the Supreme Lord's behavior, which resembled that of a subordinate living being. They concluded that he was acting this way to instruct the people in general. Thus, they smiled and spoke to him, the spiritual master of the universe.
Now, sages started speaking. Sages did not see much logic in Krishna's words, because he is giving so much importance to the sages only. That is the perspective. Now there is an absolute perspective, there is a relative perspective. And Krishna says you have to take it as authoritative. But from sages' perspective, they can't say you are glorifying us too much. Right? We can't take your words like that. Actually, you are glorious. Then they start glorifying Krishna. So Sridhar Swami explains the words Ishitavyata as referring to one's not being a controller or being under the laws of karma. Oblige it to work and experience the results of one's work. While addressing the sages, Lord Krishna accepted the role of a subordinate living being to emphasize the importance of hearing and serving saintly Vaishnavas. So for this purpose, Krishna sometimes, for the purpose of glorifying sages and brahmanas and devotees, sometimes he may apparently minimize his own importance. For example, in front of the Kumaras, Krishna said, in the 3rd canto, 16th chapter, Yat sevaya charana padma pavitra renum sadya hakshata akhilam alam pratilabdhashilam. Yat sevaya, only because of my service to the brahmanas, my dust, the dust from my lotus feet has become so sacred that it can vanquish all the sinful reactions. Lakshmi does not leave my company, although I am not interested in her. All this is because of my service to brahmanas. So Krishna is already self-sufficient. Brahmanas are also coming from him only. Right? So, but still he says that, to emphasize in that context. Now you may, what we need to do is, you need to take the message that Krishna wants to give us, which is, we need to respect brahmanas. We need to worship the devotees of Krishna and Vaishnavas. But we need not minimize his importance as he does. Right? When a senior person or when Krishna or when sages or guru, they are humbling themselves. So we need to understand the spirit behind their external statements and take that message only, and not take certain statements that may make very literally. He says that he is fallen. He says that. I didn't say that. He only said. He said that out of his humility. You can't say that. Like that. Because he is the supreme teacher of spiritual surrender, he is teaching everyone to serve Vaishnavas, respect Vaishnavas. Someone said something. Good example. Sri Munaya Uchuhu Yanmayaya Tattva Vida Uttamavayam Vimohita Vishva Srijamadhishvara Yadishitavyati Gudha Ihaya Yadishitavyayati Gudha Ihaya Aho Vichitram Bhagavad Vicheshtitam.
The great sages said, your power of illusion has totally bewildered us, the most exalted knowers of the truth and leaders among the universal creators. How amazing is the behavior of the Supreme Lord. He covers himself with his human-like activities and pretends to be subject to superior control.
So, yan mayaya tattavid uttama vayam. My dear Lord, you are possessing this power of illusion, maya, yan mayaya. So, tattavid means the knowers of tattva, the truth. And like we are supposed to be the most exalted knowers of the truth and leaders amongst the universal creators, but your power of maya can bewilder such people also. Right? Vimohita Vishva Srijamadhishvaraha. Vimohita. Lord's maya is so powerful. Even the residents of Jambudvipa also say this. Vadanti Vishvam Kavayasmanashvaram Pashyanti Chadhyatma Vido Vipaschitaha Tathapi Muhyanti Tavaja Mayaya Suvismitam Krityam Ajamratosmitam. Even if one is a great advanced learned scholar or preacher who can explain the temporary feature of this material world and he can convince other people also, but still they also can get bewildered by the Lord's maya. Right? So in that series of prayers only this line also comes. Aho vichitram bhagavad vicheshtitam. What kind of wonderful feature. How wonderful is Lord's maya, Lord's activities. Aho vichitram bhagavad vicheshtitam. What is the vichitra there? Even when a son dies, the father doesn't feel detached. Sometimes when the son dies, father wants to take away the son's property. Just as when the father dies, son takes away his property. When the son dies, father will take the son's property and also his wife, his widow also. Right, and enjoy sense gratification. So these kind of things happen, right, in the material world. So that is Bhagavad Vicheshtitam. So now this Bhagavad Vicheshtitam, maya, is mentioned in a different context. Oh, your maya can bewilder even great learned sages also. So they say that yad ishitavyayati, the Supreme Lord pretends to be the subject of higher control. He is isha, but ishitavyayati. He is presenting himself like a human being and pretending that I am subject to someone else's control. Here Krishna is glorifying the sages. Who you sages, you are brahmanas, you are worshipable, this and that, he says that. But actually, you are our Lord. You are worshipping us, you are respecting us, you are glorifying us only to set an example for other human beings to follow. But that doesn't make you subordinate to us. Right? The sages have characterized the Lord's statements as inscrutable. How this is so is stated here. His words and activities bewilder even the most learned when he plays at subordinating himself to his own servants. When Krishna is being bound by Mother Yashoda in Damodar Leela, or when Krishna is being beaten with foot by Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there Krishna is placing himself as subordinate to his servants. Servant of the subordinate. That is Krishna's description. Bhakta Vashyata, Bhakta Vatsalya, Bhakta Paradhina, Bhakta Vashyata, Bhakta Vasha. So, Even when Krishna does like that, he is only glorified. Sarva Saundarya Sangraham, one of the best aspects of Krishna's beauty is, he is giving more credit to the devotees and he is taking a low profile. That point, these sages are highlighting. Amazing behavior of Krishna. 17th verse. Aniha etad bahudhaika atmana srijatyavatyattinabadhyate yatha bhaumairhi bhumir bahunama rupini अहो विभूम्नश्चरितं विडम्बनम्.
Indeed, the human-like pastimes of the Almighty are simply a pretense. Effortlessly, he alone sends forth from his self this variegated creation, maintains it, and then swallows it up again, all without becoming entangled. Just as the element earth takes on many names and forms in its various transformations.
So, 16th verse. The sages glorified the amazing behavior of Krishna. How he presents himself as a subordinate, although he is beyond and aloof from everything. Now, 17th verse, they are saying that the Lord is transcendental. Although he does creation, maintenance and destruction, he is not entangled. Something similar to what we learnt in first canto. What was the relevant verse? First Canto, 11th chapter. This is the divinity of the Supreme Lord. Yetad ishanam ishasya prakriti sthopi tad gunaihi na yujyate sadatma sthair yatha buddhihi tad ashraya. Same thing is mentioned here also. Effortlessly, he sends forth from his self the variegated creation. From himself, he is sending all the ingredients of creation. Then he is sending his cohesive energy for the amalgamation of all these ingredients of creation and for the formation of the universe. And when the universe is formed, he enters that universe as Vishnu, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, Kshiradaka Sai Vishnu, and maintains the universe. And he annihilates the universe also. But although he deals with matter, what is this whole creation is all about? It's all about material creation, maintenance of material world, destruction of material world. All these are purely dealings with matter. Although he deals with matter at such a high magnitude, we deal with matter, how much matter we will deal with in a day? Our body is made of matter, and we may deal with little matter, little ground, little land, little water, little earth, little sky. Our dealings with matter are very small and insignificant and tiny compared to Krishna's dealings with matter. Right? But he is not entangled and we are entangled. That is the difference between an ordinary tiny jiva and Krishna. That's why Mahaprabhu is so heavy against people who equate jiva with the Lord. Where is jiva and where is Supreme Lord? Why are you equating both of them? Krishna is not captivated by the great feminine attributes of his internal potency. All the queens are manifestation of Krishna's internal potency, and their feminine attributes could not even cause the slightest agitation in Krishna's senses. But the conditioned soul is just a slight, mild glance of Krishna's external potency can do a thorough job in captivating the conditioned soul. Right? He doesn't need any internal potency of Krishna to captivate him. So one billboard is sufficient to make one person fall down. Right? So one website is sufficient. But Krishna is not like that. Dwarka queens are directly there and his gopis are there. Right? Who can be more beautiful and who can have more charming feminine features than all these great ladies? Pramadottamasta uddama bhava pishunamala valguhasa vridava lokani hato madanopiyasan sammuhya chapam ajahat pramadottamasta. They are pramada uttama, best of all women. Even Cupid surrenders. Cupid gives up his bow and surrenders. So such is the potency of these people, these ladies. But they cannot cause any agitation in Krishna's senses. On the other hand, a slight trace of Krishna's external energy, right? External energy of Krishna manifests one form, female form, right? For females it is male form, whatever, which is just a combination of earth, water, fire, air, ether. And on top of it, they put little more layer of earth to make it little more fair or shining. And they put some light, right, so that it shines even more. So that to that temporary beauty, which is so artificially presented, conditioned soul can follow, right, getting attracted by that beauty. But Krishna, he's Dhira Purush, right, even Shiva also. Shiva is considered the most Dhira, and he glorifies Krishna. When Krishna was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, all the servants, wives of Kaliya came to offer worship to Krishna. And when they were offering worship paraphernalia to Krishna's lotus feet, when touching his feet, they felt little shy and then bashful. But Krishna is not agitated by their touch. These Kaliya wives, they were agitated, but Krishna was not agitated. If you don't want to get agitated, take shelter of that person who is never agitated. That's how Lord Shiva is. Shiva's recommendation. So, if that is the magnitude of Krishna's operations, how can he be entangled? He does creation, maintenance and destruction. He is not entangled. That's what the sages are saying here. The one supreme expands himself as many without diminishing his completeness. You have 24 hours in a day. You are engaged in 10 works. And you are exhausted by the end of the day. You can't stay energetic. So, your completeness, your energy is diminished when you spend that energy for various things. But Krishna's energy, Krishna's completeness is never diminished, although so many complete units are emanating from him. Right? He gives his full time to one person, but at the same time, he is available for another person also. He stays as super soul in one person's heart. Similarly, with his full potency, with his full absorption and full attention, he stays in another person's heart also. Like that, there are millions and trillions of souls, unlimited souls in this universe, and there are like that many millions of universes. Krishna stays in everybody's heart with full attention. That only he can do that. We cannot give full attention to everyone. He stays in the middle, and then there are thousands of gopas sitting around him. And every gopa thinks that he is looking at me only. Only Krishna can do that. See, that's why he is complete. Although he completely reciprocates with his devotees, still all the other devotees feel that Krishna is available for me also. He gave his complete reciprocation and attention to another one person. How can he give similar quality of attention and reciprocation to another person? But his time is unlimited. Right. Krishna has the potency to manifest a unique form in a unique mood for every single soul in the entire cosmic manifestation. Yadyad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tatta tvapuh pranayase sadanugrahaya. For every single soul he can manifest a unique mood and unique form. Who can do that? Right. So he does it this effortlessly, Acharyas are saying, without depending on anyone or anything else. This mystic process of the Lord's self-expansion is incomprehensible to all but himself. We cannot understand how he does it, man. My God. It's when someone is doing something, so much seva he does, for example, so much management he does. So he tell, Are you kaisa kar rahe yaar? He is with me only, he is doing so much management. For example, our other Chaitanya Prabhu, he is getting so many permissions and all this, PR and all that. So, if I am in his role, I will collapse in one day. Right? It's unimaginable and inconceivable. Now, your own co-practitioner or another person who is sitting next to you can amaze you with his activities. Right? But how much Krishna is doing? Did you ever even imagine how much Krishna is doing? But people are not getting amazed only. Right? People just point out, why is he doing like this? So that's what they say. instead of getting so surprised and amazed and astonished and get attracted and captivated in this kind of, when something is so exciting, so intriguing, you feel like putting your mind there and then people just, curiosity, right? People have curiosity, they go online and then they go into so many websites doing so much of research because some curiosity captivated them. But although Krishna does such unimaginable things, people are not becoming curious to understand what is he. That is because of the covering of material nature. How thick is the covering of false ego and covering of material impressions on a soul? To that extent, he will lose curiosity to understand Krishna. There is no curiosity. There is no interest. There is no inspiration. There is no inclination. So, but the example of the substance earth and its manifold products bears enough resemblance to provide some idea. So, you simply pretend to be under higher control, but he is not under anyone's control. So, where to focus on, where not to focus on, that discrimination is not possible for a conditioned soul. One of the most significant aspects of conditioned nature is to lose discrimination. To what should I give importance? What is of importance for me? What is not of relevance for me? That decision a conditioned soul cannot make. That's why we need guidance. Next. Athapi kale sva jana bhiguptaye bibharshi sattvam khala nigrahayacha svalilaya vedapatham sanatanam varnashramatma purushah parobhavan. Nonetheless, at suitable times, you assume the pure mode of goodness to protect your devotees and punish the wicked. Thus, you, the soul of the Varnashrama social order, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, maintain the eternal path of Vedas by enjoying your pleasure pastimes. So, 18th verse is describing about the incarnations of Krishna. Svalilaya Veda Patham Sanatanam. So, at suitable times, Krishna assumes the pure goodness, Vishuddha Sattva, and protect his devotees and punish the wicked. That is Sarvadharman, what is that? Paritranaya Sadhuna, Vinashaya Cha Dushkritam. Same thing. So, maintain the eternal path of the Vedas by enjoying his pleasure pastimes. Now, Krishna is such an expert person, smart person, that when he descends and then he does something, he does so many things simultaneously also. Lord Chaitanya wanted to understand, Krishna wanted to understand the greatness of Srimati Radharani's love and to experience what she is experiencing and to taste his own sweetness. That's the reason for which he descended. And while doing that, he also taught the exemplary behavior of a sadhu, of a renunciant, and spread the yoga dharma, propagated nam sankirtan, all that also he did. So when Krishna does something, he does so many works simultaneously. So he is enjoying his pleasure pastimes, svalilaya. Svalilaya, he is performing his beautiful pastimes with his devotees. Yashoda, Nanda, all the Gopas, all Vrindavan pastimes, Mathura pastimes, Hastinapur pastimes, all that he is enjoying. But while doing so, Vedapatham Sanatanam Varnashramata Purushah Parobhavan. While doing that, he is establishing the eternal path of the Vedas. So Lord's enlightening people in general and his imitation of worldly behavior, both are happening simultaneously. That's described in this verse. He is doing his pastimes and he is also exemplifying an ideal personality in this world. By presenting himself as a human being. Next, 19th verse. Brahmate hridayam shuklam tapah svadhyaya samyamaihi यत्रोपलब्धं सद्व्यक्तं
अव्यक्तं
च ततः परम्. This verse is about the scriptures.
The Vedas are your spotless heart, and through them one can perceive, by means of austerity, study and self-control, the manifest and the unmanifest and the pure existence transcendental to both.
So, suitable scriptures. Brahmate hridayam shuklam. Vedas are your spotless heart. Hridayam. Shuklam means white, means very pure. That's what it represents. So, hridayam shuklam, that's pure heart. You can't take the word to mean white, means understand the spirit. Don't take it literally, like that. So, tapaha svadhyaya samyamaihi, by means of austerity, tapaha svadhyaya, study, samyama, self-control. Yatra upalabdham sadvyaktam avyaktam chatatah param. The manifest, the unmanifest and the pure existence transcendental to both. Right? So, all that is happening by the scriptures, Vedas. 20. Tasmad brahma kulam brahman.
Tasmad brahma kulam brahman.
Shastrayone stvamatmanah.
Shastrayone
stvamatmanah. Sabhajayashi saddhama.
Sabhajayashi saddhama.
Tad brahmanya granir bhavan.
Therefore, O Supreme Brahman, you honor the member of the Brahminical community, for they are the perfect agents by which one can realize you through the evidence of the Vedas. For that very reason, you are the foremost worshipper of the Brahmanas.
So, Krishna worshipped the Brahmanas. Krishna recommended the worship of Brahmanas and sages in his talk, which we began discussing yesterday and then we concluded today. So now the sages are glorifying Krishna's transcendental position. Your behavior is amazing. 16th verse they said. 17th verse they said, you are transcendental to this material creation, maintenance and destruction. And 18th verse they said the purpose of his incarnations. 19th verse the purpose of scriptures. Now in 20th verse they are saying that to exemplify the nature of a human being, an ideal human being, you are presenting yourself as a worshipper of Brahmanas, as the foremost worshipper of Brahmanas. In future, people will think that hey, Krishna worshipped Brahmanas, I should also worship. Krishna said that to Kumaras also. If I take the dust of Brahmanas and put on my head, who will hesitate to do that? I eat food through the mouths of Brahmanas. That's a better way for me to accept food than through the sacrificial oblations. Generally, it is said that the Lord accepts our offerings through sacrificial fire. But he says that I accept offerings through the mouths of Brahmanas. When you offer them food dripping with ghee. He is the foremost worshipper of Brahmanas. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Next. Here the Lord is described as Tasmad Brahmakulam Brahman Shastra Yuvanestu Atmanaha. Sabhajayasi taddhama, saddhama, saddhama. You honor the members of Brahmanical community for they are perfect agents by which one can realize you through the evidence of Vedas. So why Brahmanas are given so much importance? Ultimately, Krishna's plan for the conditioned soul is to reclaim them. I want to take them back to Godhead. That's the whole purpose. Whatever Krishna does in this material world, in relation with the material creation, is for that purpose of reclaiming the conditioned souls. Of course, he has his own leelas, he has internal reason, external reason, all these are there. But from the perspective of the conditioned souls, what Krishna wants is, I want to reclaim this fellow. Right? So, why he is giving so much importance to Brahmanas? Because Brahmanas assist Krishna in reclaiming the conditioned souls. How? By explaining the scriptures. So scriptures, what the scriptures should reveal to the conditioned soul? This is the path by which you can go back to Krishna. What a sadhu should tell the conditioned soul? This is the path by which you can go back to Krishna. And why Krishna is loving the scripture and loving this Brahmanas? Because they are one with him in purpose of reclaiming the conditioned soul. Right. So Krishna reclaims the conditioned soul in various ways. First, he gives him an opportunity to enjoy separately from Krishna, and by doing so, the conditioned soul will fail in his attempts to enjoy separately from Krishna. And when he fails, that frustration and that disappointment and discouragement and that failure will give him a realization. Supposed to give him a realization. If not now, later. After 10 lifetimes maybe. Right? After 100 lifetimes. Or after one day of Brahma. Something like that. So they, all this frustration should lead to a point where he thinks that, I think I cannot enjoy separately from Krishna. Like that. He gives an opportunity to exercise his independence. Second, he also gives him an opportunity to realize that he cannot enjoy independently. So by this, he tries to reclaim him, right? By giving him, by inducing a feeling of detachment and frustration in him. And scriptures are there. And once he is frustrated that I think I cannot enjoy in this world, right? I am suffering. Although I don't want suffering, suffering is being imposed upon me. What is the way out? When he starts thinking like that, then scriptures will come in front, acharyas will come in front, Krishna's incarnations will come in front and reclaim the conditioned soul. Ultimately, the frustrating experience that the conditioned soul undergoes is also meant for going back to Godhead only, if we see that in proper light. Right? So there is frustration, there is an opportunity for enjoyment, there is a frustration in that enjoyment, and there are scriptures and acharyas and Krishna's incarnations. All these five put together are supposed to take the conditioned soul go back to Godhead. Right?
Adhyano janma safalyam vidyaya tapaso drishah tvaya sangamya sadgatya yadantah shreyasam parah.
Today, our birth, education, austerity and vision have all become perfect because we have been able to associate with you, the goal of all saintly person. Indeed, you yourself are the ultimate supreme blessing.
Mm. Now they are glorifying Krishna. Your association makes everything perfect. Right? Adhyano janma safalyam. Adhya means today. Janma safalyam means our life and our birth has become successful. So we are able to see you. We are able to associate with you. Our birth. See, first janma safalyam they said. Next vidya, our education. Tapasa, our austerity. Drishya, our vision. All have become safalyam. That safalyam word has to be applied to all of them. Tvaya sangamya sadgatya. By your sangam, your association. Right? Sadgatya. Satgati means, sat means saintly people. Gati means their destination. You are satgati. People have different versions and explanations and purports for Sadgati. Sadguru, Sadgati. They have their own interpretations. But Sat, Gati means the Gati, the destination of Sat, saintly people. And this is the Bhagavatam's version. Different people have different versions. So, Sadgatya, Yadantah Shreyasam Paraha. Indeed, you yourself are the ultimate Shreyasam Paraha. Paraha means ultimate. Shreyas means blessing, benediction. You are the ultimate blessing. So Krishna honors Brahmanas as a means of instructing less intelligent people, whereas he is in fact absolutely independent. So Krishna's glories are not technically dependent on Brahmanas' glories, although he claims so to instruct people in general. But he is the Swarat, he is ultimate.
Namastasmai
Bhagavate
Krishna Yakuntha Medhase
Svayogamaya
Yachanna Mahimne
Paramatmane.
Let us offer obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the infinitely intelligent super soul who has disguised his greatness through his mystic Yogamaya.
So, they are offering obeisances. Therefore, you may praise or offer respects to us to teach the common man, but we must bow down to you, our worshipable Lord. You are praising us. We have a purpose in praising us. But we should not be carried away by that praise. Right? When a superior person is praising a younger man, right, a subordinate, one should not be carried away by it. One should see the example that the superior is setting in it. I should be humble enough to see good in others. Right? I should be humble enough to see the glories of other Vaishnavas. That's the message that one is supposed to take, not being puffed up of the glorification that one receives. Just like the sages are saying, you are praising us, fine. We have your purpose of setting example to other people, but we should not be carried away with that praise and take those praises literally and forget our subordination to you. We are your subordinates. You are our worshipable person. So, apart from any future profit to be obtained from worshipping the Supreme Lord, it is every person's most essential obligation to bow down to him as an acknowledgement of one's dependence and servitude. Beautiful statement. It's our essential obligation to offer obeisances to Krishna because of our dependence and servitude. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. What profit you will get, that you keep it aside. Just because you need some favor to me, it's my basic etiquette and essential obligation to say thank you to you. If I say thank you and then you may feel impressed and then you may give more favor to me, that's a different thing. I should not be expecting that, and in expectation of that I should not thank you. But it's an offering of my gratitude to you because you have done some favor to me. And ultimate favor is always done by Krishna to any person. So the basic etiquette that we can show to Krishna is at least offer obeisances to him. What we will get by offering obeisances to Krishna, that we will see later. Right? That we don't have to consider only. A devotee should not consider it. Outside people will say, if I chant Hare Krishna, what I will get? Is it better than Om Namo Narayana? Is it better than Om Namo Shivaya? Is it better than what are the other mantras that they chant? My God. Not the Vaishnava mantra, there are so many mantras. And so many mantras also they invent. So, like that, I will not chant those mantras. Otherwise it will not become Bhagavatam class. So, like that, what benefit we will get? So, materialistic person thinks in terms of what benefit am I going to get by doing this activity. A devotee thinks in terms of how should I serve Krishna? How should I express my subordination and service to Krishna? That is his thought process. If our thought process is more aligned with what benefit am I getting, we are away from devotion. That we need to understand. Right? If our thought process is aligning with how should I serve Krishna, where is an opportunity for me to express my gratitude towards Krishna, then we are closer to what is called a devotee. Right? The difference between a devotee and a materialistic person. Thinking in terms of one's own selfish material benefits is the nature of a materialistic person. Thinking in terms of selfless service to Krishna, ahaituki apratihata seva to Krishna, is the attitude of a devotee. Beautiful statement, you can memorize this statement also. Apart from any future profit to be obtained from worshipping the Supreme Lord, it is every person's most essential obligation to bow down to him as an acknowledgement of one's dependence and servitude. Long statement, but very beautiful statement. Footnote, Pradipika, 23. Nayam vidantyami bhupa ekaramascha vrishnayaham mayajavanikachannam atmanam kalamishwaram.
Neither these kings nor even the Vrishnis who enjoy your intimate association know you as the soul of all existence, the force of time and the supreme controller. For them you are covered by the curtain of Maya.
So again, this word Maya Javanika Channam is used. So what are the sages saying? First they said, Nayam Vindanti Yami Bhupa Eka Ramascha Vrishnayaha. Vrishnis cannot understand your glories. Number one. Number two is what? Bhupa. Bhupa is kings. Kings, the kings in general cannot understand your glories. Next, Vrishnis in specific, they cannot understand your glories. Why? Maya Javanika Channam. Because they are covered by the curtain of Maya. Atmanam Kalam Ishwaram. And you are the Supreme Soul, Atma, Kalam, Time, Ishwaram, Controller. These general glories of Krishna are also mentioned. However, we need to understand which Maya Javanika is covering Vrishnis and which Maya Javanika is covering Bhupas, kings. So ordinary kings, they are covered by the curtain of Mahamaya, but Vrishnis are covered by the curtain of Yogamaya, which is the internal spiritual potency. That will cover their awareness of Krishna's majesty and engage them in his eternal pleasure pastimes. Unless all the friends of Krishna are not covered by Yogamaya, how can they consider him friend? They start offering obeisances. If everybody is offering obeisances only in one rasa, shame rasa, dasya rasa, how can Krishna have the pleasure of friendship, pleasure of parenthood, or pleasure of a conjugal relation, right? So Maya is one, but it acts in two different ways, on devotees and non-devotees, right? That's why Lord's energies are multifold. So Vrishnis are too familiar to him to realize that he is super soul. So, and those kings at Kurukshetra who are not devotees of Krishna could not recognize him as time, annihilator of everything. Devotees and non-devotees are both covered by Maya, but in different ways. Okay. 24. Yatha Shayanaha Purusha Atmanam Guna Tattvadrik Namamatrendriya Bhatam Navedarahitam Param Evam Tva Namamatreshu Vishayeshvindriye Hayam Mayaya Vibhramat Chitto Navedas Mrityupaplavat.
A sleeping person imagines an alternative reality for himself and seeing himself as having various names and forms forgets his waking identity, which is distinct from the dream. Similarly, the senses of one whose consciousness is bewildered by illusion perceive only the names and forms of material objects. Thus, such a person loses his memory and cannot know you.
So when someone is sleeping in the dream, he may see he has become a king or he has become a hero. Some people aspire to become movie celebrities. In their dreams, they become heroes or directors. Some people aspire to become sports stars. In their dreams, they play cricket. And what is that called? Shuttle, badminton, what is that called? Tennis. So like that, in their dreams, they keep seeing all this. So just as a person's dream is secondary reality, created from a stock of memories and desires. Where do you understand this science better? Narada Muni's teachings to Prajnabarhi, 4.29. There the whole science of mind and dreams are explained. We see gold, we see mountain, and in the dream we will see golden mountain. Concoction. Golden mountain may not exist. Or even if it exists, you have never seen it. But you have seen two different objects and you have combined them in the dream. You have seen a bird flying and you have seen a dog running on the ground. And in the dream, you may see a dog flying or you are flying. Right? It may happen like that. So this is all a stock of memories and desires just processed by your mind in its own way, random way. So this universe exists as an inferior creation of the Supreme Lord, is no real way separate from him. Just like the experience of a dream is insubstantial for a living person. Similarly, the experience in the conditioned state of the soul is insubstantial for a soul, pure spirit soul, who is supposed to be a servant of Krishna in the spiritual world. This is also dreamy experience. Yes, this is true, no doubt. but it is temporary. It is so temporary that it doesn't exist even for one eye blink of Brahmaji, who is also conditioned in this world. Right? Within Brahma's one eye blink, our 100 lifetimes are passing away. And what one person said something to me today, and how much importance should I give it to him? Right? Some event happened to me today, how much importance should I give it to him? It's not even doesn't even occupy even 1 kb of the 1 b, 1 byte of the hard disk space of Brahmaji. And whose life is insignificant, whose entire life is not even one breathing period of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. Where is Krishna and where are we? Right? Where are we entrapped? And what all things are bothering our minds? And where is Krishna? Right? In the proper mercy, we are attempting to reach Krishna. Sarva Krishna. See, such a surprising phenomena. What we are attempting is so lofty. Is it not? If we only consider it for a moment, right? And we take it for granted oftentimes. So, the universe exists as an inferior creation of the Supreme Lord, is no real way separate from Him. Is in no real way separate from Him. So in one sense, they are the same also. That we have discussed so elaborately at other times. The oneness and the Bhedavakyas and Abhedavakyas, all that. Maya tadvadam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina na chamatsthani bhutani pashyame yogam ishwaram. All these verses are very familiar to you. We discussed multiple times. 26th verse.
Tasyadyate darshasi dadrishi manghrim augha aghauga marsham. Tasyadyate dadrishi manghrim aghauga marsham. Tirthaspadam hridikritam suvipakva yogaihe. Utsikta bhakti upahata shaya jiva shkosha. Apur bhavadgati matha nugrihana bhaktan.
Today we have directly seen your feet, the source of all. The source of the holy Ganges, which washes away volumes of sins. Perfected yogis can at best meditate upon your feet within their hearts. But only those who render you wholehearted devotional service, and in this way vanquish the soul's covering, the material mind, attain you as their final destination. Therefore, kindly show mercy to us, your devotees.
The essential message of this verse is, only by rendering wholehearted devotional service. Utsikta bhakti upahata ashaya jiva kosha. Upahata ashaya. All the material aspirations have to be kept aside. That is ahaituki. And utsikta bhakti means fully developed devotional service. Devotional service which is not intermittently performed, imperfectly performed, irregularly performed, not that kind of devotional service, but that devotional service which is utsikta, fully developed, and upahata ashaya, which does not have any material aspirations, material mentality. So such devotional service will enable a living entity to attain your mercy, my dear Lord. The yogis who have destroyed their material mind and ego by surrendering unto Krishna in pure devotional service can attain full perfection. Now they are concluding, the sages. This is the last prayer. They conclude by praying that the Lord favor them in the most merciful way by making them His devotees. Please make us your devotees. You have glorified us, fine. But we want to become your devotees. Like that. Now, Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. Having thus spoken, O wise king, the sages then took leave of Lord Dasharha, Dhritarashtra and Yudhishthir and prepared to depart for their ashrams. The sages came, saw Krishna, took darshan, offered prayer and they are leaving. That's the purpose for which they have come. Seeing that they were about to leave, the renowned Vasudeva approached the sages. From here, the chapter has another episode. After bowing down to them and touching their feet, he spoke to them with carefully chosen words. Babhashedam suyantritaha. Vasudev, now you got the flow, right? They all met at Kurukshetra, different people. The Vrishnis and Bhojas and Nandakas and all the Dwarakavasis and Hastinapurvasis and Vrajavasis, all of them met. And they were having different discussions. Yesterday we discussed about the conversation between Draupadi and the queens. After that, Krishna met the sages. Krishna started addressing the sages when the sages came. He offered obeisances and addressed the sages. And sages addressed Krishna by offering him prayers. And now they are about to depart and Vasudeva comes to take some guidance of the sages. Now Vasudeva, who is father of Krishna, he was overwhelmed with a feeling of awe and reverence towards Krishna after hearing Krishna's glories from the sages. Right? So there is a slight, change in his attitude, Vatsalya attitude towards Krishna. Sometimes he gets into Aishwarya mode. So Vasudeva is undergoing that phase now in this chapter. So 29th verse. Vasudeva is saying, Namo Vaha Sarva Devebhyam. Rishayah Shrotum Arthatam. Karmana Karma Nirharo. Yathasyannasta Dachyatam. Obeisances unto you, the residents of demigods. So, Sarva Devebhyah. All the sages are considered to be personification of all the demigods. Please hear me, O sages. Kindly tell us how the reactions of one's work can be counteracted by further work. Basically, his enquiry is about Karma Yoga. So, Vasudeva addresses the sages as residents of demigods. And wherever demigods exist, all reside in a Brahmana who knows the Veda. Like that. So, Vasudeva inquired how to counteract this effects of work. Krishna Chaitanya Thakur is saying, the sages felt astonished. Even though Vasudeva is Lord's father, he thinks himself caught up in the cycle of material existence. Vasudeva is thinking, I have done so much work, I must have attained a lot of karma, and I need to get out of this effects. So please show me the way. And even if he is asking for the benefit of others, why is he ignoring Krishna and asking us? Like that, the sages became a little embarrassed when Vasudeva asked this question. So, now here Vasudeva addresses the sages as Sarva Devebhyah. This we know. Vasudeva said, please tell me, how can I destroy the bondage of karma? Since I am so attached to my wife's children and home, I am not qualified for jnana or bhakti. In that attitude, he spoke. So, now Vasudeva's case we need to consider in a more broader perspective. It's not that he is interested to perform karma yoga. Out of his great sheer humility, he is just presenting himself like that, as someone who is entangled in karma and then inquiring how to come out of that karma that way. So the future discussions will reveal. We'll take a break.
Hare Krishna.
So the sages glorified Krishna and they were about to leave, and Vasudeva came running behind them and asked them a question. Please let me know, how can we overcome the reactions of our own work? So Narada Muni responded. Narada Muni took the scene there, because the whole ambience at Kurukshetra was that of glorification of Krishna. And this kind of glorification of Krishna and presenting the majesty and controllership and supremacy of Krishna is what is most relevant for a common man. But someone at Vasudeva's level, who is in Vatsalya Rasa, he may conveniently ignore Krishna as a person who can enlighten him, and he can go and ask the sages. Right? Another perspective of this whole thing is, Vasudeva is asking the sages and not Krishna. Why? Because Vasudeva is overwhelmed by his feelings of affection towards Krishna. But now again the sages will glorify Krishna. Then Vasudev, and he also had some many glories of Krishna so far, then Vasudev will get into reverence mood. Right? So here the perspective that Acharyas are presenting is that although Vasudev knows that Krishna is God right from his birth, because as soon as Krishna took birth as the son of Vasudev, Vasudev offered prayers. The first thing that Vasudev did was offering prayers to Krishna. Right? Since then he knows that he is God. But because of interacting with him so closely, he developed so much of quote-unquote familiarity with Krishna. Right? Means this is a perspective. Vasudev is in Vatsalya Rasa, but from a common man's perspective, if you stay with some great people so closely, the tendency is to get familiar with them and not to take them very seriously. In those lines, Narada Muni will start responding. Right? So the whole discussion is made relevant for a common man. The Prema Siddhanta, or the real truth of loving affairs and love of Godhead and the rasas, that's not being highlighted here. But what is being highlighted is what is relevant for a common man. So Vasudev ignored Krishna there and started inquiring from the sages. Right? So the sages felt little embarrassed. Arey, Krishna ke samne, how can we answer the question of Vasudev? Because sages are also in reverential mood. But Narada Muni could understand Vasudev is beyond this question. Someone at the level of Vasudev, who is the father of Krishna, need not ask this inquiry. Oh, I have done so much of work, I must be having some reactions of all my works, how can I get out of all of that? So that kind of questions he need not ask. He is beyond all that. But still he is asking.
Sri Narada Uvacha Nati Chitram Idam Vipra Vasudevo Abhutsaya Krishnam Vatvarbhakam Yannaha Pruchati Shreya Atmanaha.
He says, Na Atichitram Idam Vipra. Oh Brahmanas, Narada Muni is telling the other Brahmanas, it is not so amazing that in his eagerness to know, Vasudev has asked us about his ultimate benefit and he did not ask Krishna. Why? Krishna is being considered as mere boy. Krishnam Matva Arbhakam Yannaha. Vasudev is considering Krishna as his own child. That way he is not asking him. So, Prichati Shreya Atmanaha. So, Narada Muni and other sages felt obliged to maintain their attitude of reverence towards Krishna. So, how could they ignore Krishna and then presume themselves as someone who can enlighten Vasudev? So, they are in their mood. In front of Krishna, how can we answer? Now you and your Siksha Guru are standing there and some new IVS boy comes and asks you a query. Prabhu, what is that verse in Bhagavad Gita? What is that Manmanabha Madhukta then? You should allow your superior to answer the question rather than you answering, unless he orders you, something like that. That is their condition now. So what Vasudev is giving, Narada Muni is giving a nice example now. Very important point. Sannikarshotra matya martyanam anadarana karanam gangam hitva yathanyambas tatratyo yati shuddhaye. Very important point. Sannikarsho atra martyanam. Sannikarsha means being so close, physical proximity. Atra in this world, martyanam for human beings, mortal beings. Anadarana karanam. Anadarana means, adar means giving respect. Anadarana means disrespect. Anadarana karanam. Sannikarsha means proximity will cause anadarana. Sannikarshana will lead to anadarana. Why? Physical proximity will lead to disrespect. Basically, familiarity breeds contempt. That's the point he's saying. And he gives an example. What is that?
Gangam hitva yathanya yatha anya ambhas tatratyo yati shuddhaye. A person who is living so close to Ganga will think that I should go for some pilgrimage and take bath, a holy bath in some holy river. He starts thinking like that. Ganga, are Ganga to samne hai. You want to go to some other place. Let's go to some other place, some other holy river and take bath. Someone who stays so close to a holy person or holy place and holy dham may sometimes or may many times do not realize their glories and then feel like going somewhere else for some spiritual nourishment. So, maybe our immediate responsibility is to recognize what fortune that we have, our next door, right in front of us, right? So, what is that called? The grass on the other side always looks green. Oh, side. Oh, green the grass. This is brown, that is green. Like that. So, he is applying that to Vasudev. Right? This is contextual. The principle that Narada Muni is saying is perfectly correct. In the case of you and me. Conditioned souls. In general, people of this world. But in Vasudev's case, it is little different. Vasudev's case is not one of familiarity breeds contempt, although it could be presented that way in this context. But he is in Vatsalya mode. He could not get into Aishwarya mode right now. But sometimes he gets into Aishwarya mode also. Right? So, and he gets into Aishwarya mode in the next chapter. Too much into Aishwarya mode. That way. So, 31st verse. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, indeed, Vasudeva knew that Krishna was Lord from very beginning. I think I mentioned all this. Okay. So, one may tend to forget or ignore one's a person's greatness by being so close to him. That's the whole theme. 32.
Yasyanubhutihi kalena. Layotpatya adinasyavai svatonyasmacha gurnato nakutascha narishyati tam klesha karma paripaka guna pravahair anyahatanubhavamishwaramadvitiyam pranadibhisva vibhavair upagudhamanyo manyeta suryamiva megha himopa ragaihi.
The Supreme Lord's awareness is never disturbed by time, by the creation and destruction of the universe, by changes in its own qualities or by anything else, whether self-caused or external. But although the consciousness of the personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme One without a second, is never affected by the material distresses, by the reaction of material work, or by the constant flow of nature's mode, ordinary persons nonetheless think that the Lord is covered by his own creation of prana and other material elements, just as one may think that the sun is covered by clouds, snow, or an eclipse.
So sun may be covered by clouds, snow, or an eclipse. To the perspective of a common man. But Krishna's consciousness, Krishna's awareness, nothing can be covered. So, things of this world are inevitably destroyed by one means or the other. There is constant change and destruction that is happening. What is that called? There's four kinds of pralaya. There is nitya pralaya. Nitya pralaya is the constant deterioration that happens. Now you keep this flower garland here and the flowers will not remain fresh as the time progresses. The freshness and the fragrance of a flower today, as soon as it is plucked from the tree, will not remain tomorrow. And the day after tomorrow it will become even more less. Right? So like that. So time itself causes the eventual decay of everything created. A fruit or anything. So, even in living bodies and other things whose existence continues for some time,
there is a constant flux of various qualities that are destroyed and replaced by others. Something is getting destroyed and it's getting replaced. Right? So hairs will fall off and new grace will grow. Nails will fall off and new nails may grow. Right? Cells will be destroyed and the new cells may replace them. So in contrast to all this, the Lord's awareness is never disrupted by anything. Only out of ignorance could one imagine him to be an ordinary human being, subject to material conditions. Lord cannot be covered by what are in fact his own expansions. So, an ordinary living entity may be subjected to familiarity or illusion or something like that. Disrespect, disregard, and not valuing things which are supposed to be valued and giving overemphasis to things that are not supposed to be very important in his life, etc., etc. But the Lord's awareness and consciousness cannot be deviated by all these temporary dualities. That's what Narada Muni is highlighting. Atho churmunayo rajan abhashyana kadundubhim sarvesham srinvatam rajnam tathaiva chutaramayo. No, Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. Because Narada Muni spoke like this, he was addressing the sages. Sukadeva Goswami is saying that the sages then started speaking again, addressing Vasudeva now. While so many other kings and Krishna and Balram, all of them were listening, the sages started speaking to Vasudeva.
Karmana karma nirhara
yesha sadhu nirupataha
yachshaddhaya
yajet vishnum sarva yagneshwaram makhaihi.
The sages said, it has been definitely concluded that work is contracted by further work when one executes Vedic sacrifices as a means of worshipping Vishnu, the Lord of all sacrifices, with sincere faith.
So what was Vasudeva's inquiry? He said that how do I come out of the reactions of the work that I performed? Karmana karma nirhara. Karma is the activity that is done. Next karma is the reactions of those activities. Nirhara is the counteraction of those reactions. Karmana, karma nirhara means activity and counteraction of the reaction of that activity. So, yesha sadhu nirupitaha. So, this has been definitively concluded by sadhus. Right? That shraddhaya yajet vishnum. So, how to counteract that? How to counteract the reactions or the the work is counteracted by further work when one yajet Vishnu, when one does sacrifice towards Vishnu, right? When one executes Vedic sacrifices that are meant for worshipping Vishnu, what they are saying is ignarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhana 3.9 Bhagavad Gita tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. If one performs a work as a sacrifice, as an offering to Vishnu, then one can counteract one's work, or one is not entangled by that work. Otherwise, he is entangled by that work. Okay, same thing they are saying. And one should also have sincere faith. So, counteracting work is possible by offering that work to Krishna. 35. Okay, 36.
Chittasyopashamo yamvai kavibhihe shastra chakshusha darshitaha sugamo yogo dharmasyatma mudavaha.
Learned authorities who see through the eye of scripture have demonstrated that this is the easiest method of subduing the agitated mind and attaining liberation, and that it is a sacred duty which brings joy to the heart.
This process of offering one's endeavors for the satisfaction of Krishna is considered the most easiest method, right, of subduing this agitated mind and attaining liberation, like that. And who said this? Kavibhi Shastra Chakshusha. Kavibhi means great learned people. Shastra Chakshusha means who had the power to see through the scriptures. They have the lens of scriptures through which they see this world. Such people said that the best way of contracting work is to offer the work to Krishna. Ayam svastyayana pantha dvijatir grahamedhinah yachraddha yapata vittena shuklene jyata purushah.
This is the most auspicious path for a religious householder of the twice born order to selflessly worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with wealth honestly obtained.
Same thing they are re-emphasizing. Ayam svastyayanaha pantha. Svastyayanaha means that which causes auspiciousness. Pantha is the path. Dvijatir grahamedhinaha yat shraddhaya aptavittena. So all the twice born people are recommending like this. Yat shraddhaya, with faith. Apta vittena, whatever vitta, wealth that one person has obtained by honest means, by not by stealing or robbery or by other gambling methods. So whatever wealth one has obtained by honest means, with that shuklena ijyeta purushaha. Right? Ijyeta means worshipping. Purushaha is Krishna. You should worship the Supreme Lord with the wealth that you have attained honestly. This is the path prescribed by great learned sages for householders. Simple, simple thing. Now, the ritual karma of Vedic sacrifices is particularly meant for attached householders. Those who are already renounced in Krishna consciousness, like Vasudeva himself, need not cultivate their faith in the Lord's devotees, and need only cultivate faith in the Lord's devotees, his deity, his form, his name, etc. Right? They don't have to undergo certain ritualistic things, rituals. Vittaishanam yagnadanair grahair dara sutaishanam atmalokaishanam deva kalena visrujet buddha grame tyaktaishanah sarve yayur dhiras tapovaram.
An intelligent person should learn to renounce his desire for wealth by performing sacrifices and acts of charity. He should learn to renounce his desire for wife and children by experiencing family life. And he should learn to renounce his desire for promotion to a higher planet in his next life, O saintly Vasudev, by studying the effects of time. Self-controlled sages who have thus renounced their attachment to household life go to forest to perform austerities.
So, the process of renunciation is described in this verse. The sages are telling Vasudeva that one should renounce desires for wealth in this way. Vittaishanam yajnadanir. Vitta. Vitta is wealth. Yeshanam. So for those who are desiring wealth, how to renounce that desire? By yajna and dana. By performing sacrifices and giving charity. Yajna and dana. The desire for wealth should be engaged in this way. Second, grahair dara sotaishanam. He should renounce his desire for wife and children by experiencing the family life. So whatever excitement one has before marriage, before entering into a relationship with the opposite sex, and before becoming the father or mother of some girl or boy, and the happiness or the pleasure of raising them, all that excitement will be whatever, mellowed down. Right? Once he actually gets into the experience. Oh, I thought it's exciting, but
Not that exciting. Forget about exciting, it's exhausting. Some people may think like that. But once you enter, once you commit, you can't come out. It's a lifelong commitment. You need to continue. That's responsibility. So continue the responsibility, and by doing so, one will be detached. Some people will listen the experiences as described by Kapila Dev and Rishabh Dev and Krishna and stay away. Some people will want to get the experience themselves and enter it, experience it, and then they get detached. Right? Both are bona fide ways. Which way you want, you decide. Right? But both are bona fide. So here sages are saying that the renounce, the desire for wife and children may be renounced by experiencing family life or by hearing. Second, a third, and he should learn to renounce his desire for promotion to higher planets in the next life by studying the effects of time. Some people have so much of excitement. What excitement? I will do yajna, dana, tapa, this and that, and I will go to heaven, swargam. I will go to swarga, I will enjoy with all the apsarasas there, Rambha, Urvasi, Menaka, Tirottama will come and dance in front of me when I am sitting on the throne. So these are some aspirations of some people. What should they listen? They listen from Bhagavatam 5th canto, prayers of the residents of Jambudvipa. All the great residents of heavenly planets are glorifying Bharata Varsha. Right, what they are saying? Nayatra Vaikuntha Katha Sudhapaga Nasadhavo Bhagavata Stadashrayaha Nayatra Ignesha Makha Mahotsava Surepi Lokopina Vaisa Sevyatam. The place where Krishna Katha, the river of Krishna Katha is not flowing, Nayatra Vaikuntha Katha Sudhapaga Nasadhavo Bhagavata Stadashrayaha. The place where sadhavas, sadhus, bhagavatas are not there who are taking shelter of that river. Third, Na yatra yagnesha makha mahotsava, the place where great celebrations and festivals of Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Namsanketan, all these are not going, that place is not worth living. Suresha lokopi, although it is the abode of the king of demigods, Indra's abode, Swarga also, na sevyatam, it's not worth living there. Better to live in the airtight bag of mother's womb, and not come out of that womb, and let may we be bitten by the bugs and insects within the mother's womb. May we be tormented by the spicy food that the pregnant mother eats. We don't mind there if we have an opportunity to remember Krishna. Instead of coming out of that womb and staying in a place where there is no Krishna Katha, where there are no devotees, and where there are no festivals. This is the conclusion of whom? Demigods. Right? So, by studying the effects of time, kshine punye martya lokam vishanti. So, once you have money, so with say 50,000 rupees, you enter a shopping mall, go from one floor to another floor, and then purchase this jeans pant and t-shirt and some perfume and deodorant and belt and whatnot, so many things may be there, right? Shoes, all that you purchase, mobile. And 50,000 is getting exhausted. You purchase a pant, 2,000 rupees gone. Purchase a t-shirt, 1,000 rupees gone. Purchase a mobile, 10,000 rupees gone. Like that your 50,000 will not remain 50,000. It will become 40, 30, 20, 10, 1 rupee. And they will say, get out. You can't be in this shopping mall just to experience AC. Just because it is outside, it is sunny. If you have some money in your pocket, then only you can experience our AC. If they detect, the shopkeepers detect that you have no money to purchase anything, you are just doing some time pass inside, they'll check you out. Right? So, like that. One should. Similarly, if one does not have pious credits, he cannot stay in the upper planetary systems. How will the pious credits be exhausted? By time. As time progresses, whatever time you are allocated to stay in the heavenly planets, that much time only you can stay. Now you need to study the effects of time to be detached from the desire to go to heavenly planets. So three things are mentioned now. Number one, you should renounce the desire for wealth by charity and sacrifices. Number two, he should renounce the desire for family, children and wife by experiencing family life. He should renounce the desire to enter higher planets by studying the effects of time. Three things are mentioned. Self-controlled sages who have thus renounced their attachment to household life go to the forest to perform austerities. Ranaistribhir dvijo jato devarshi pitrunam prabho yajnadhyana prata putraistani anistritya trayan prayet.
Dear Prabhu, a member of thrice-bound classes is born with three kinds of debts, those owed to the demigods, to the sages and to his forefathers. If he leaves his body without first liquidating these debts by performing sacrifice, studying the scriptures and begetting children, he will fall down into a hellish condition.
So one has three debts. And Uddhava Gita confirms that a devotee is beyond these three debts if he takes shelter of Mukunda's lotus feet properly. What is that verse? Devarshi bhutatrinam pitrunam nakinkaro nayam raniyacha rajan sarvatmanayah sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihirta kartam. So, but this is a regular trend. Even Daksha says to Narada Muni, what did he say? My sons, Hariyashvas and Chavalashvas, they are not relieved of these three debts. Debt to demigods, which is cleared by performing sacrifices. Now these people entered a renounced order of life, how can they perform sacrifices? Dakshat was telling Narada Muni, he was blaming him. And debts to sages, that is done by following celibacy. And debts to forefathers, that is cleared by creating children, creating progeny. Who can do some pindadan vagera, like that. Whenever a brahmana takes birth, three debts are born along with him. He can pay his debt by celibacy, then sacrifice and children. Oh, this I already discussed. 40. Tvam tvadya mukto dvabhyam vai rishipitror mahamate Yagnair Deva Rinam Kunmucha Nirno Sharano Bhava Niruno Niruno.
But you, O magnanimous soul, are already free from two of your debts, those to the sages and the forefathers. Now absolve yourself of your debt to the demigods by executing Vedic sacrifices, and this way free yourself completely of debt and renounce all material shelter.
Earlier, before entering married life, one is practicing celibacy. After entering married life, one is creating progeny. Thus, his debts to the sages and forefathers are cleared. But if he also performs sacrifices, his debts to demigods are cleared, according to the Karmakandic version. But Vasudeva doesn't have any such debts. That's mentioned in 41st verse. Vasudeva Bhavan Nunam Bhaktya Paramaya Harim Jagatamishwaram Prachrach Sayadvam Putratam Gataha.
O Vasudev, without doubt, you must have previously worshipped Lord Hari, the master of all worlds. Both you and your wife must have perfectly worshipped him with supreme devotion, since he has accepted the role of your son.
So you are not obliged to clear these debts. Because Supreme Lord is directly your son. You have performed so many austerities already. You know Sutapa and Prishni did austerities. And later they became Kashyapa and Aditi. Now they became Vasudeva and Devaki. So they have already done a lot. So Devarshi Bhutatranam Pitranam is already mentioned in this purport. Now, Vasudev, in his inquiry, he asked a question posing as an ordinary man. So, they have answered that question by quoting ordinary scriptural injunctions. But his question is way below his standard of devotion. Now they are coming to his case. Yeah, generally this is the case, but you are beyond all this. Right? So, eternally liberated, father of a supreme, okay, that 42nd verse. Now the sages concluded. Vasudeva asked the question and sages concluded. What did we discuss in this chapter so far? So first, the sages arrived there and Krishna praised the sages, Brahmanas. Then the sages praised Krishna, offering prayers. Then when the sages were leaving, Vasudeva asked them a question. And Narada Muni, just to create the whole ambience, which is to make it relevant for a common man, he says, familiarity breeds contempt, ignoring Krishna, although Krishna is so great, his own son, ignoring him because he is only a child, he is coming to us and asking this question. So Narada Muni kind of made a clarification there. But in that clarification, there is a glorification of Vasudev. He is beyond this. Then the sages started answering the question of Vasudev. They said that these are the regular protocols according to Shastric injunctions, but you are beyond all this. That's how they concluded. Now Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. After hearing those statements of the sages, generous Vasudeva bowed his head to the ground and praising them, requested them to become his priests. Because the sages made one point. You have already cleared the debts of forefathers and sages. But by doing some rituals and sacrifices, you should clear the debt of demigods also, but you need not clear also. Right? Although I need not clear, I will clear. That is Vasudeva's attitude. Devotee is not obliged to do something, but still, he will do it as a matter of fact. Just to set an example for outside people. Thus requested by him, O king, the sages engaged the pious Vasudeva in performing fire sacrifices at that holy place Kurukshetra, according to strict religious principles and with most excellent ritual arrangements. Now the next few verses describe only the sacrifices part. We will just read the translations. Fine. When Maharaj Vasudeva was about to be initiated for the sacrifice, O king, the Vrishnis came to the initiation pavilion after bathing and putting on fine clothes and garlands of lotuses. The other kings also came, elaborately ornamented, as well as all their joyful queens who wore jeweled lockets around their necks and were also clad in fine garments. The royal wives were anointed with sandalwood paste and carried auspicious items for the worship. Vridangas, patahas, conch shells, bheris, anakas, and other instruments resounded, male and female dancers danced, and sutas and magadas recited glorifications. Sweet-voiced Gandharvas sang, accompanied by their husbands. After Vasudeva's eyes had been decorated with black cosmetic and his body smeared with fresh butter, the priests initiated him according to scriptural rules by sprinkling him and his 18 wives with sacred water. Along with husband, wives also should sit. Wife or wives, whatever may be the number, they should sit in the sacrifice. Encircled by his wives, he resembled like a regal moon encircled by stars. So Vasudeva's principal wife is Devaki, and there are other co-wives, right? Total 18 wives he had. And out of 18, 6 were her own sisters. So their names are mentioned in the purport. Someone read the translation.
Vasudeva received initiation along with his wives, who wore silk saris and were adorned with bangles, necklaces, ankle bells and earrings. With his body wrapped in a deer skin, Vasudeva shone splendidly. My dear Maharaj Parikshit, Vasudeva's priest and the officiating members of the assembly, dressed in silk dhotis and jeweled ornaments, looked so effulgent that they seemed to be standing in the sacrificial arena of Indra, the killer of Vrita. At that time, Balaram and Krishna, the lords of all living entities, shone forth with great majesty in the company of their respective sons, wives, and other family members who were expansions of their opulences.
Performing various kinds of Vedic sacrifices according to the proper regulation, Vasudeva worshipped the Lord of all sacrifices, sacrificial paraphernalia, mantras and rituals. He executed both primary and secondary sacrifices, offering oblations to the sacred fire and carrying out other aspects of sacrificial worship.
So, Ijayanu Yajnam Vidhina Agni Hotradi Lakshanaihi Prakritaihi Vaikritaihi Yajnair. The third line says Prakritair Vaikritai Yajnair means primary and secondary yajnas. You know, Sarga is of two types, Prakrita and Vaikrita. Primary, Sarga and Visarga. They are also called Prakrita and Vaikrita, primary and secondary. One that is done by the Lord, one that is done by Brahmaji. Similarly, yajnas are also of different categories. There are primary yajnas and there are secondary yajnas. They are called Prakrita and Vaikrita. So, Prakrita are the original yajnas. So, they are the Brahmana portion of the Vedic Stuti specifies the complete step-by-step procedure of only a few prototype sacrifices like Jyotishtoma and Darsha Purnamasa. They are like Prakrita. And since other yajnas are thus known by derivation from the prototype sacrifices, they are called Vaikrita. So we don't know so many details of what are the sacrifices and all, because we are into Sakirtan Yajna. But in the Vedic sacrifices, there are primary and secondary also. Read the 52nd verse.
Then at the appropriate time and according to scripture, Vasudeva remunerated the priest by decorating them with precious ornaments, though they were already richly adorned, and offering them valuable gifts of cows, land and marriageable girls. After supervising the Patni Samagya and Avabhrite rituals, the great Brahmana sages bathed in Lord Parshurama's lake with the sponsor of the sacrifice, Vasudeva, who led them. His sacred bath complete, Vasudeva joined with his wives in giving the jewelry and clothes they had been wearing to the professional reciters. Vasudeva then put on new garments, and after which he honored all classes of people by feeding everyone, even the dogs. With opulent gift, he honored his relatives, including all their wives and children. The royalty of the Vidarbha, Kaushala, Kuru, Kashi, Kekai, and Shringaya kingdoms. The officiating members of the assembly and also the priest, witnessing demigods, humans, spirits, forefathers and charnas. Then taking permission from Lord Krishna, the shelter of the goddess of fortune, the various guests departed as they all chanted the glories of Vasudeva's sacrifices. The Yadu were all embraced by their friends, close family members and other relatives, including Dhritarashtra and his younger brother Vidura, Pritha and her sons, Bhishma, Drona, the twin Nakul and Sahadev, Narada and Vedvyas, the personality of Godhead, their heart melting with affection. These and the other guests left for their kingdoms, their progress slowed by the pain of separation.
So this is how sacrifice was concluded and people started departing slowly. Now, from now onwards, the rest of the chapter is describing the separation scene. So after such a long time, Vrajavasis and Krishna, now Vrajavasis and Dwarakavasis, they are together at Kurukshetra. And now the whole question of separation between Krishna and Vrajavasis again is coming. So how was this separation possible? What made Nanda Maharaj and Yashodamayi and all the gopis and other residents of Vrindavan go from Kurukshetra back to their village, leaving Krishna, right? Certainly they could not appreciate Krishna and his whole attire at Kurukshetra, that was sure, but still, how could they leave Krishna? They should pull Krishna and they should go back to Vrindavan, because that is the force of their love. So what made them go without Krishna, quote unquote without Krishna? They cannot go without Krishna, and Krishna cannot send them without accompanying them also. What is the exact scene? We'll discuss now. Nandastu saha gopalair. Bhartya
पूजयार्चितः कृष्णरामोग्रसेनाद्यैर् न्यवास्तासीद् बन्धुवत्सलः
Nanda Maharaj showed his affection for his relatives, the Yadus, by remaining with them a little longer, together with his cowherds. During his stay, Krishna Balram, Ugrasen, and the other honored with him with especially opulent worship.
So Nanda Maharaj was showing his affection to the relatives, and although many people were departing, he stayed for a little longer. He is unable to move. Vasudevanja sotirya manorathamaharnavam suhridvrataha preetamana nandam ahakare sprishan.
Having so easily crossed over the vast ocean of his ambition, Vasudev felt fully satisfied. In the company of his many well-wisher, he took Nanda by the hand and addressed him as follows.
So he crossed over the vast ocean of his ambition. So Vasudev had a deep desire to inquire from the sages what he is exactly supposed to do, and he conducted elaborate sacrifices even at Kurukshetra, and he is in a more relaxed mood now. But Vrajavasis, headed by Nanda Maharaj, they are in a very heavy mood now. Vasudev was in a light-hearted mood because Krishna is right with him. There is no question of Vasudev's separation from Krishna. The thought also did not come. But a century of separation that these Vrajavasis have experienced, and after this century they are coming and then meeting Krishna at Kurukshetra, how much anxiety they must be having within their hearts. So Nanda Maharaj's heart is very heavy, not hard, heavy. Right, he was so anxious. Now Vasudev met Nanda. So one father of Krishna is having a very satisfied experience, and another father of Krishna, who is more closer to Krishna, is having a very heavy and morose and painful experience. You see, 100 years back, when Nanda Maharaj came to Mathura, there was a meeting between Nanda and Vasudev in 5th chapter. You remember? Meeting between Nanda and Vasudev. At that time, Nanda Maharaj had a very enlivened heart, very happy heart, jubilant heart. And Vasudev is so anxious for the protection of Krishna and Balaram, who were his own sons. And Nanda Maharaj is not even aware that Vasudev's son is with me. He is thinking that he is my son only. See, the scenes change in one century. Right? So, if you are happy today, don't think that you will be happy forever. If you are morose today, don't think that you will become morose forever. So, things will change. But you only have to make sure that your happiness or moroseness are connected with Krishna. What is the... Now, Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj, both were having this morose experience and happy experience in two different contexts, but their happiness and pain both are connected with Krishna. That we need to make sure. We cannot avoid anxiety. We should make sure that our anxiety is because of Krishna's service. And sometimes we can be happy also. Make sure that you are happy for Krishna, not because of getting some material satisfaction. Right? Now Vasudeva started speaking. Vasudeva uvacha. Bhratar ishakrtaha pasho. Dhanamyaha sneha samnyitaha. Tam dustyajam aham manye. Suranam api yoginam.
Shri Vasudev said, "My dear brother, God Himself has tied the knot called affection, which tightly binds human beings together. It seems to me that even great heroes and mystics find it very difficult to free themselves from it."
So Vasudev is saying, "Bharata, O brother, Nanda Maharaj, Ishakrutaha Pashaha." Pasha is this rope, which is a knot which is made by rope, right? Pasha, noose. So this is Ishakritaha. This pasha is because of this bondage, bonding is because of the supreme controller Krishna. Dhrinam yaha sneha samyutaha. What is the name of that pasha? Sneha pasha. So Kunti was praying, Sneha Pasha Mimam Chindi Dradham Pandushu Vrishnishu. So this Sneha Pasha is created by Isha, and great devotees aspire to cut that Pasha if that is because of some material affection. But whether pain or pleasure, devotees experience a lot of emotions in that because of that Pasha when it is connected with Krishna. Now the pasha that is between Vasudeva and Nanda Maharaj with Krishna in the center is purely spiritual, right? So Bhrata, he is addressing him as brother. We have a relationship as brothers. And where did this bondage of sneha come from? Because of Isha. Isha krtaha pasho rinam yaha sneha samyataha tam dustyajam aham manye. Dustyajam, it's very difficult to give up. This pasha, this sneha pasha is very difficult to give up. I am thinking like that. Aham manye. Suranam abhiyoginam. It is very difficult for suranam, very great heroes, accomplished persons. Yoginam, for yogis also it is very difficult to give up. Heroic leaders of men try to transcend their petty attachment by force of will. By my willpower, I will give up all my material attachments. Even introspective sages also, by pursuing knowledge, they say that we will give up our material attachments. Well, it's not very easy. But the Lord's illusory energy, Maya, is so strong that any conditioned soul is entrapped by that bondage. Only by taking shelter of Krishna, the Lord of Maya, can one become immune to her influence. Same thing. Daivi hiyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Mamevaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. That's what the purport is all about. This knot of affection cannot be given up so easily. However much philosophy you know, however austerity you must have done, the material affection will immediately come. It's a general message. Of course, the center of their affection is Krishna, but in our case, the center of affection may or may not be Krishna many times. Mostly not. Right? Mostly it is not Krishna, there is a tight knot. One is Nanvati, another is Kanvati. So 61st verse, Prabhupada Chakvartipada is saying, I think these bonds of affection are hard to cut. Durbhidam. For warriors by strength and for yogis by knowledge. Warriors, heroes, Suranam, they try to cut the knots by their weapons, strength, physical strength. And yogis try to cut by knowledge, but both will fail. So the meaning is, throughout the day and night, the two of you are tightly bound by the rope of affection for my sons. Vasudeva is saying, you and Yashoda, you both are tightly connected and are knotted by your affection for my sons. Vasudeva is saying. Now, 62nd verse. Asmav apratikalpeyam yatkritagneshu sattamaihi maityarpita phalachapi nanivarteta karhichit.
Indeed, the Supreme Lord must have created the bonds of affection for such exalted saints as you have never stopped showing matchless friendship towards us ingrates, although it has never been properly reciprocated.
So when Vasudeva was in great anxiety for the protection of Krishna, it is Nanda Maharaj who actually protected him, even without his knowledge. So Kamsa was threatening to kill all the sons of Vasudeva. 6 sons he already killed. So now 7th son was understood to be a miscarriage, but we know what happened to the 7th son. 8th son Krishna was born,
And Vasudeva had no means to protect this small baby. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly incarnated as his son was sitting in his laps, Vasudeva had no ability to protect him, to maintain him, to serve him. So, in such a predicament, Vasudeva took that Krishna and gave to Nanda Maharaj without even informing him. Secretly kept him in Nanda Maharaj's house. 100% sure that Nanda Maharaj will protect this child. Right, like that more than a decade passed. And now Vasudeva is saying very humbly that we are not grateful to you. We are ingrates. We are not sufficiently grateful to you. The favor that you have done for us, when Kamsa was alive, every moment was life threatening to us. So in such a predicament, you have protected my children. Thus you have protected us. And we did never sufficiently reciprocated with the favor that you have done. So 10 years you have protected my children, and now 100 years you are away from my children. Because you protected my children, you have developed a deep bondage with my children. And now we never sufficiently reciprocated with that affection and protection that you have offered them. So the whole life, the whole game of life is very intriguing and bewildering and surprising and heart-rending. Even in the case of Krishna's parents, he had two sets of parents, right? What all exchanges they were having.
Prag akalpacha kushalam bhratar वो नाचरामहि अधुना श्रीमदान्धाक्षं नपश्यामः पुरः सतः.
Previously, dear brother, we did nothing to benefit you because we were unable to. Yet even now that you are present before us, our eyes are so blinded by the intoxication of material good fortune that we continue to ignore you.
So earlier, Vasudeva received a lot of favor from Nanda Maharaj, and so many demons, because Krishna was there, because Vasudeva's son was there in Gokul, so many demons were coming and attacking Gokul. You see, Krishna was sent by Vasudeva, Krishna was personally placed in Nanda Maharaj's house by Vasudeva. Along with that presence of Krishna, there are so many demons who were trying to attack the village of Gokul. So what Vasudeva has done is, he disturbed the peace of Vrindavan. Literally, he disturbed the peaceful ambience of Vrindavan. Before Krishna entered, there was no demon. So all the hatred and envy, that anger that Kamsa had towards Vasudeva and Devaki and their own children was transferred, the whole brunt was transferred towards Gokul and Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. Right? So the favor that Nanda and Yashoda have done for Vasudeva and Devaki is unimaginable. They have accepted Krishna, they have maintained Krishna, they protected Krishna, they have taken so much of daily anxiety for Krishna. And a whole village was tormented by so many demons that Kamsa was sending. Right? Although you have, and we could not do anything. So we have given you trouble in the form of Krishna, and we could not protect you from any of those troubles. Demons were coming. All that Vasudeva could do is only one thing, to give a warning to Nanda Maharaj that there could be some disturbance in Gokul. You should go back after paying taxes. That's the only suggestion Vasudeva gave. Apart from that, you don't find any record where Vasudeva is trying to send some soldiers for the protection of Vrindavan, or trying to arrange something else. And he also had sent Gargamuni for naming ceremony. All this is to protect the interest of his own son. Right? But because his son was there in Vrindavan, how much Vrindavan Vasis were undergoing, Vasudeva and Devaki could not do anything about it. And Vasudeva is not doing anything was justified because he himself was held captive by Kamsa and his men. So Kamsa could, because of Kamsa, they could not do anything. But even after Kamsa died, you have made my son grown up and so powerful and so strong that he came and killed Kamsa. And now he shifted to Mathura and later to Dwarka. And then also we could not do anything to you. So Vasudeva's heart, these are Vasudeva's heartfelt words coming from his heart. He's so honest, he's so humble, he's accepting so much blame on him. Right? And basically Nanda Maharaj and all the Vrajavasis, all the Vasudeva is saying so many things, they are not so much bothered about that things. Where is Krishna? When will we get Krishna? That's their only question. Their hearts were overwhelmed with Krishna. Right? Now, Chakravartipad says in the 63rd purport, previously because of being imprisoned by Kamsa, I did nothing to help you. Now, even though Kamsa had been killed and I am free, still due to intoxication of wealth, I continued to ignore you. So Vasudeva is saying this out of his own humility. Because of my intoxication of wealth, I could not do anything for you. Adhuna Sri Madan Dhaksha. Sri Mada. Mada means intoxication. Because of Sri, wealth. I have attained lot of wealth. I have become the king. Right? Na pashyamaha purahasataha. I could not see you. Next. Maharaja Shrir Abhut Pumsaha.
Maharaja Shrir Abhut Pumsaha.
Shreyaskamasya Manada. Svajanan uta bandhunva. Napashyati yadandhatrik.
O most respectful one, may a person who wants the highest benefit in life never gain kingly opulence, for it leaves him blind to the needs of his own family and friends.
So he says, because of Srimadandaksha, because of the intoxication of wealth and material opulence, I ignored you. So, may a person not get such kind of opulence that blinds one's eyes so much so that he ignores his own near and dear ones who have done a lot of favor to them. Right? So, when you receive some favor from someone and later, because you are in a good situation, you ignore that person only, that same, very same person, then that's a very very bad thing, right, to be done. So I have done it, Vasudeva is saying. So may any person not get such wealth, kingly opulence. So for it leaves him blind to the needs of his own family and friends. It is of course out of deep humility that Vasudeva is berating himself. But his condemnation of opulence in general is valid. It's a very important point to note. Vasudeva's condemnation of opulence, material opulence, is perfectly valid. But you cannot apply that literally to Vasudeva. Earlier in the canto, in this canto, Narad Muni delivered a stinging criticism of Nalakvaira and Manigriva. So he was also saying, Nahiyanyo Jashato Joshyan Buddhi Brahmsho Rajogunaha Srimadad Abhijatyadir Yatra Stri Jyuta Masavaha. What is the most degrading material phenomena for a conditioned soul? Wealth. Although he does not have beauty, he does not have education, although he is not very powerful, because he has wealth, he can purchase all this. He has no strength, he will employ some gundas. He has money. He has no beauty. Then still no problem. He can purchase whatever he wants because he has wealth. Right? So that point is highlighted here. 64th purport, Chakravartipad says, a person should not obtain wealth and kingdom, submerging Nanda in the ocean of supreme humility by his praises. Vasudeva also became submerged in humility, as indicated by these words. Now Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. His heart softened by feelings of intimate sympathy. Vasudeva wept. His eyes brimmed with tears as he remembered the friendship Nanda had shown him. Evam sauhurda saithilya chitta anaka dundubhi rurodha tat kritam maitrim smaran asu vilochanaha.
He is shedding tears. Nandastu sakhyuhu priyakrita premna govinda ramayoho adyasva iti masam strin yadu bhirmanito vashat.
And on his part, Nanda was also full of affection for his friend Vasudev. Thus, during the following days, Nanda would repeatedly announce, "I will be leaving later today, and I will be leaving tomorrow." But out of love for Krishna and Balram, he remained there for 3 more months, honored by all the Yadus.
So, generally, to stay at someone else's place is considered very, what to say, not very respectful for one's own self, right? So, an uninvited guest is not treated properly. But when the guest himself says, I want to stay here, it's like he is demeaning himself only, right? But Nanda Maharaj, that is not a consideration. How these people are treating me if I stay such a long time? Krishna is here. My attachment is here. I will be here. I'll go today, I'll go tomorrow. Like that, he's just postponing his travel only but staying with Krishna. Right? So that to that extent, because all these great devotees, Vasudeva, Nanda Maharaj and all the Vrajavasis, they are not so much bothered about their own false ego, their own self-esteem, their own profile and image in the eyes of the public. They are more concerned about their love for Krishna. If I see Krishna here, staying at Kurukshetra or Dwaraka or Mathura, I will be able to understand his needs. I should be able to serve him. I may get some opportunity to render some service to him. They were just looking for it. Right? Even if other people ignore me, that's fine. I can undergo such humiliation and embarrassment to serve Krishna. So that's what book distribution is. Right? People will ridicule you. People will look through you. Right? People may, chastise you, doubt you, right? Glance at you, pass sarcastic comments at you. But still, I want to give him Krishna. So Prabhupada is just making us habituated to this kind of phenomena, that we give more importance to Krishna's interests than our own selfish interests, our own ego, our own image, our own profile, our own humiliation or embarrassment. Does it serve Krishna's purpose? Does it make Krishna happy? I'll do it. No problem. People may think in various ways. After settling that he would leave first thing in the morning, Nanda Maharaj would then decide, I shall go later today. Then, when the afternoon came, he would say, I will go until tomorrow. I will stay until tomorrow. Like that. Nanda secretly intended to bring Krishna back with him to Vraja, but did not want to break Vasudeva's heart also. Like that, 3 months passed, not 3 days. 3 months passed. Thus, his indecision continued for 3 months. Where? In Kurukshetra. Vasudevograsenabhyam Krishnodhava Bala Dibhi Dattam Adaya Paribaram Paribarham Yapito Yadubhir Yayau.
Then after Vasudev,
67 we skipped. Tatahakamair Puryamanaha Savrajaha Sahabandhava Parardhya Bharanakshoma Nananarghya Parichadaihi.
Then after Vasudev, Ugrasen, Krishna, Uddhava, Balram, another had fulfilled his desire and presented him with precious ornaments, fine linen, and varieties of priceless household furnishings. Nand Maharaj accepted all these gifts and took his leave. Seen off by all the Yadus, he departed with his family members and the residents of Vraja.
This is surprising. 3 months he was postponing his travel. Now, at the end, Vasudeva, Ugrasena, Krishna, Balram, Uddhava and all these people, gave him so many presentations. What are the presentations? Ornaments, cloth, then household furnishings, all this. And what did Sukadeva Goswami say? Nanda Maharaj accepted all these gifts and took his leave. Seen off by all the Yadus, he departed with his family members and other Vrajavasis. So apparently a person may misunderstand that Nanda Maharaj accepted some material gifts and then left. He is coming from a village and these are all sophisticated city dwellers and he got some very valuable presentations from him and then he went. That did not pacify him. What exactly pacified them? Purport says. That's why you should not be satisfied only by the verses. Read the purports. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes an elaborate commentary. So Nanda Maharaj approached Krishna and told him, my dear son, for one drop of perspiration from your divine face, I am ready to give up countless lives. So, countless lives of my own self is nothing in front of protecting Krishna from perspiring once. One drop of perspiration. I can't even tolerate that Krishna is laboring like that. To that extent they love Krishna. It is not a very poetic way of expression. There are no words to express their devotion and love for Krishna. So this just gives a very vague understanding of how much they love Krishna. If at all we can appreciate even this example. I cannot, he says, let us leave now for Vraja. I cannot spend any more time here. Their whole mood, is heart is in Vrindavan. How can they relish Krishna's appearance and Krishna's attire in Kurukshetra? They can't handle it. But why are they living in Kurukshetra seeing Krishna, hoping that let us take Krishna away? This is the heart's longing of every single Vrajavasi who came to Kurukshetra to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. Then he went to Vasudeva and told him, my dear friend, please send Krishna to Vraja. Then he told Ugrasena, please order my friend to do this. If you refuse, I will have to drown myself here in Lord Parashuram's lake. Just watch, if you do not believe me. We people of Vraja come to this holy place not to gain some piety on the occasion of solar eclipse, but to get Krishna back or die. Although so many kings came to that Samanta Panchaka, to that Kurukshetra, to gain pious credits, but Vrajavasis had a totally different conception only. What we will do with piety? We want to see Krishna there, we want to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. That's the only purpose. And if we can't get Krishna back to Vrindavan, we will die at Kurukshetra only. With that intention they came, they made up their minds. And Vasudeva, Nanda Maharaj is not speaking on his behalf only. He is speaking on behalf of entire cowherd community. Such a unity of hearts they have. One Nanda Maharaj is sufficient to represent the entire village of Vrindavan to such an extent that we can die if Krishna doesn't come to us. Right. To that extent they love Krishna. We people of Vraja came to this holy place not to gain some piety on the occasion of solar eclipse, but to get Krishna back or die. So hearing such desperate words from Nanda Maharaj, Vasudeva and other people tried to pacify him with valuable gifts. Right? So what happened before they gave gifts is mentioned here. So Vasudeva is very well versed in arts of diplomacy. Since childhood he is being raised in such royal palaces. He knows the political affairs. He employs this diplomacy to pacify Kamsa also. Right? So he employed the same thing here. Vasudeva consulted with his most trustworthy advisors and satisfied Nanda Maharaj by telling him, my dearest friend, O King of Raja, it is of course true that none of you can live without Krishna. We understand this. And how can we allow you to kill yourselves? Therefore, by all means, I must send Krishna to Vraja. I will do so right after we accompany him and relatives and friends amongst many helpless women back to Dwaraka. We will send Krishna, but let Krishna come along with us to Dwaraka all the way. You cannot send right from Kurukshetra. I will send him from Dwaraka. These are ways of postponing and employing diplomacy and pacifying and consoling the affected party. Right? You may not have a pakka plan to execute it, but you need to say it so that the opposite person is pacified. That's what Vasudeva is doing. Then the very next day, without trying to obstruct him in any way, I will let him leave for Vraja at an auspicious time of the day. This I swear you 1,000 times over. After all, how can we who came here with Krishna go home without him? We came here with Krishna. Krishna should come with us to whom? What will people say about us? You are a great scholar in all matters. So please forgive me for making this request to you. You are a great scholar. All this we need to say. For example, Sanatan Goswami was trying to escape from the jail. He went to the jail keeper and said, you are a great scholar. Usko kuch pata nahi. He doesn't know anything. You are a great pandit. You are learned in Quran and other things. Just to satisfy him, he said it so that he can release him. Of course, this is not so much at that level. But nevertheless, there is some kind of diplomacy that is employed in this. Next, Ugrasena addressed Nanda Maharaj. My dear Master of Raja, I will bear witness to Vasudev's statement. Vasudev promised you that as soon as all of us return to Dwaraka, along with Krishna, the next day Krishna will return to Vraja. That Vasudev promised and I am witness. So, still, Nanda Maharaj is silently watching. Till you send Krishna, I am not satisfied. You speak whatever you want to speak. Then Krishna, joined by Uddhava and Balram, spoke to Nanda Maharaj in private, not in front of Ugrasena and other people also. My dear father, if I go directly to Vraja today, leaving aside all these Vrishnis, they will die from the pain of separation from me. Then many thousands of enemies more powerful than even Keshi and Arista will come and annihilate all these kings. Krishna is telling. Since I am omniscient, I know what is inevitably going to happen to me. Listen as I will describe it to you. So from here onwards, a very important paragraph is coming. I will receive an invitation from Yudhishthir. There I will kill Shishupala. After which I will again return to Dwaraka and kill Shalva. Some of these incidents were already described in 10th canto. And understand that 10th canto is not chronological. In one purport that the chronology is mentioned. Next, I will travel to a place just south of Mathura to save you by killing Dantavakra. I will then go back to Vraja, see all my old friends and again sit in your lap with great pleasure. Indeed, with great happiness, I will spend the rest of my life with you. God has written this fate on my forehead and it has been written on your foreheads that until the day I return, you must tolerate separation from me. Neither of our destinies can possibly be changed. So, please find the courage to leave me here for now and go home to Vraja. And this also did not satisfy. The whole master plan of the future events of Krishna, that also did not satisfy Nanda Maharaj. What satisfied him? See here. And if in the meantime you, my dear parents, and you, my beloved friends, are distressed by the unavoidable fate written on our foreheads, then whenever you wish to feed me some delicacy or play some game with me or simply see me just close to your eyes, I will appear before you to turn your torment into sky flowers and fulfill all your desires. I will personally be present in front of you physically whenever you want me to. Only that promise could pacify Nanda Maharaj and other Vrajavasis so that they agreed to go back to Vraja without taking Krishna. I promise you this and the young friends of mine whose lives I saved in a forest fire. Convinced by all these arguments that his son's happiness was of prime importance, Nanda accepted the gifts offered to him and left. So, the gifts offered by Ugrasena and Vasudev and Krishna, Balram, etc. They did not pacify Nanda Maharaj and they did not make him go from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. But what exactly made him go is Krishna's personal promise that he will be personally present whenever they want him to. whenever they want to feed him or play with him. Okay. So this explanation had been given based on two words. Kamaihi Puryamanaihi. Kamaihi is desirable objects, Puryamanaihi is satiated. Otherwise these words would make no sense unless there was an explanation of Nanda being completely satisfied. For Nanda and Yashoda, who could not believe at all that Krishna was the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, they did not believe only. He's our son. Who are they coming in the middle and then claiming that Krishna is my son? So you are going in this path and someone will come with a take diversion board. Ye road mein jao, ye road nahi, ye block ho gaya. So who are they coming with the take diversion board? Krishna is our son. They could not even believe. For such people, how can this furniture and other gifts and ornaments and cloth will satisfy and make them go back to Vrindavan? So we have discussed elaborately how much they love Krishna. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan, right? 47th chapter, Bhramara Gita. So at that time we discussed. For Nanda and Yashoda, who could not even believe that Krishna was the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, even if testified by Brahmaji or his sons and daughters, and for who all material wealth and ornaments were considered trifling in comparison to just the remembrance of the treasure of happiness attained by touching the back of their finger to Krishna's chin, how would it be possible to satisfy them with millions of silks and valuable furnishings given by Vasudeva? Such a long statement. Back of their finger to Krishna's chin. In front of this happiness, even if Brahma comes and testifies that he is son of Vasudeva and Devaki, this happiness is sufficient for us. Right? We are aspiring for this happiness, don't tell us so many things. Right? For argument's sake, even if they were satisfied or could be satisfied, the text also mentions that not only Nanda and his wife, but all the inhabitants of Raja, including Gopas and Gopis and all his friends were satisfied. If one were to make the bold supposition that Krishna's mother and father and also all his beloved Gopas and Gopis were satisfied simply by getting valuable ornaments, cloth and jewels, and then went back to Vraja, we would be left with the conclusion that the prema of all Vrajavasis must have disappeared. If we have to accept this 68th verse and 67th verse literally as it is presented in Bhagavatam, we are accepting that Vrajavasis do not love Krishna. Simple. If you accept based on your understanding of Bhagavatam so far that Vrajavasis love Krishna more than they love themselves, then you cannot take this verse literally. You need to depend on this purport. We should consider this matter in light of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which states that one characteristic of prema is ananya mamata, the unflinching sense of possessiveness towards one's beloved, wherein one is completely apathetic to other objects. What ornaments you will give us? We are living in Chintamani Dham. They are not even comparing that. We want Krishna back. You give entire Dwarka. Ornaments, no, you just give entire Dwarka. Lift the Kushastali Dweep and establish it in Vrindavan. It doesn't make any sense to us. Send Krishna back to us. That's what they want. They have such a stubbornness and strong opinion based on their love and affection for Krishna. You cannot negotiate with Vrajavasis. Right? Krishna cannot negotiate. What will Vasudeva and Ugrasena negotiate? Unable to withdraw their minds from Lord Govinda's lotus feet, where they had surrendered them, Nanda and cowherd men and women returned to Mathura. Nando gopascha gopyascha Govinde charanambuje manahakshiptam punarhartum anisha mathuram yayuhu bandhushu pratiyateshu vrishnaya krishna devataha viksha pravrisham ashanad yayuhu dvaravatim punaha.
Their relatives having thus departed and seeing that the rainy season was approaching, the Vrishnis, whose only lord was Krishna, went back to Dwarka.
Then they told the people of the city about the festive sacrifices performed by Vasudev, and about everything else that happened during their pilgrimage, especially how they had met their loved ones. Okay. So these people went to Dwarka, those people went to Vrindavan from Kurukshetra, and other people already departed earlier, 3 months back. So this is one more glimpse of the affection of Vrajavasis towards Krishna. Thank you all very much. Grantharashtimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.